The reading is taken from Luke 14, verses 15 to 24. You can find this in the Pew Bibles on page 1048. The parable of the great banquet. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I've just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
So if you've got a Bible, it'd be really helpful if you turned to that passage, page 1048. And let me
pray for us.
Lord Jesus, as you taught those around you with this parable of a great banquet, as they had to weigh up the challenge and the invitation you were offering, so we pray, speak to us this morning. Help us to hear what you have to say. Help us to weigh up, to grasp and understand all that you offer and exactly where you challenge us. So speak, we pray, in your name. Amen. What's the best invitation you've ever received? I'm talking about an invitation to an event, a party, or some other social gathering. What's the best one you've ever had? Did it come in a hefty envelope? Embossed paper or card, it sort of dropped through your letterbox with a great clunk, the kind of invitation that you display on your mantelpiece for some weeks or months? Or was it an unexpected phone call? A last minute invite from a friend? We've got some spare tickets for whatever it is. Do you want to join us? Was it a lavish celebration? At the wedding of some wealthy relatives, a marquee, dinner and dancing right through the night? Or was it a more intimate encounter, a few friends together for a special occasion? I remember some time ago, I'd only been in Newbury for a few years, and Ellen and I were invited to dinner at Highclere Castle. That was an unexpected phone call. It came through to the church office on a Friday, and Mandy Maskell, our church administrator, phoned me immediately. She said, "Well, I know it's your day off, but I've just had Lady Carnarvon on the phone, and she wants to know if you'd like to come to a dinner party." Well, I phoned Lady Carnarvon straight back and accepted her kind invitation, and it was a good one. Maybe you're someone who gets most pleasure out of hosting your own parties. That's not all of us, but it might be some of us. You're a natural event organizer, and you love the excitement of all of the preparation, the planning of the guest list, the sending out of the invitations, the welcoming of people into your home and to your party. Well, if that's you, what's the best party that you've ever hosted? We're in the middle of a sermon series called Meals with Jesus, looking at the meals in Luke's gospel. Meals that Jesus was invited to, parties with tax collectors and dinners with religious leaders. Meals that Jesus hosted, the feeding of the 5,000, a feast for 5,000. And meals that Jesus taught about, this parable of a great banquet that we're looking at today. In fact, Jesus told this parable of the great banquet while he was at another meal at a Pharisee's house. We looked last week at the verses immediately before this one, verses 1 to 14 of chapter 14. Jackie preached on the advice that Jesus gave regarding meals. Verses 5 to 11, advice for guests about where to sit. If you remember, don't take the place of honor. Sit low down, then you might be invited up. And then verses 12 to 14, immediately before our passage this morning, advice about who to invite, advice for hosts. And of course, Jesus is not just advising here on social etiquette. As always, he is teaching on kingdom principles. And as always, his teaching is challenging. It's provoking the religious leaders, his Pharisee hosts at this meal. He's being subversive, awkward, countercultural, as he so often is. And all of this has probably made the atmosphere around the table at this meal with religious leaders a little tense, because Jesus is prodding away. And after a while, one of the guests leans across to Jesus, and he says, verse 15, "Blessed is the one who will eat in the feast of the kingdom of God." Now, I don't know what you think, but that sounds to me like an attempt by this guest to try to find some common ground. He's trying to relieve the tension in the room, round the table, and move on to something that everyone can agree on. Don't you recognize that kind of remark? Have you made that kind of remark yourself? You know, exactly the kind of experience someone in the room or around a table is up for an argument. And whatever it is, whatever their topic, they won't let it go. And it's getting a bit much. And you just try to move the conversation on a bit. You offer some words just to try and shove it onto some safer ground, onto something that we can all agree about. Here's Jesus picking an argument again, articulating some awkward points of view about where you should sit at the table and who you should invite to your parties, getting at his hosts. And this guest turns to him at the table and says, "Blessed is the one who will eat in the feast of the kingdom of God." In other words, let's just agree, despite our differences, that there's a great feast coming in the kingdom of God, and we're all expecting to be there, we're blessed, and let's thank God for that. Let's take the heat out of this conversation. Does it work, this attempt? Well, Jesus doesn't take the hint or accept the offering, if you like. Instead, he tells another parable about another meal, the parable of the great banquet. And it's a parable about, I think, three things that I'd like us to see as we go through this. Firstly, it's a parable about an incredible invitation. An incredible invitation. Verse 16, Jesus says, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. And with this opening sentence, Jesus is joining in with a conversation that had first begun over 700 years earlier. The parable that he tells is, if you like, a scene from a much larger film, an epic. It picks up on one of the major metaphors for the kingdom of God that runs through the Bible, God's great banquet. The prophet Isaiah, writing in the 8th century BC, years before Jesus, looked ahead to the day when, Isaiah chapter 25, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. And at this great banquet, we read, the sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. God's great banquet, a theme running through the pages of Scripture. God's lavish hospitality, fine wine, rich food, a feast to banish hunger and end sorrow. This is the picture of God's kingdom, of what it is to be part of God's kingdom. This is the great hope, the great banquet. And when Jesus begins his ministry 700 years after the prophet Isaiah, do you know what his first miracle was? Miracle number one? He turned water into wine at a wedding. Into the finest of wines, if you remember. He turned a mediocre party that was fast going wrong into a feast to remember. We're still talking about it today. And it wasn't only to help his hosts out, to save them from embarrassment, it was a sign, a foretaste of the kingdom. Later, he fed 5,000 in the wilderness. They were fully satisfied, 12 baskets of leftovers, a foretaste of the kingdom. He said, whoever comes to me will never be hungry, will never be thirsty. Whoever eats my bread will live forever. And when Jesus came to the end of his earthly ministry, the night before he died, he gave his disciples something to remember him by. And what did he give them? A meal, bread and wine, a foretaste of the coming kingdom of God. This is a picture. It's one of the main pictures of Christian hope. What are we looking ahead to? Where are we heading? Do you think of heaven as fluffy clouds and endless singing to harps? Well, the picture in the Bible is much more than that. A feast in the book of Revelation, the wedding supper of the Lamb, a banquet to banish hunger and end sorrow. And so when Jesus responds to this Pharisee's comment with a story about a banquet, he's taking part in this long conversation running right through the Bible. A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. This is about God and his kingdom, a story about a big party, great banquet, many guests, much to get ready, planning and preparation. And then eventually, verse 17, at the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who'd been invited, come, everything is now ready. Come, everything is now ready. This is an incredible invitation, not to be missed. A generous host, lavish hospitality. This is not a bring and share supper, however much you might like or dislike those. It's not one of those. There's nothing the guests need to contribute. What should we bring? Just, Just bring yourselves. Everything is ready. Everything is paid for. This is a picture, one of the main Bible pictures of God's incredible invitation to each one of us, a feast to banish hunger and end sorrow. Come, says the host, for everything is ready. It reminds you of the prophet Isaiah again. Isaiah 55, come, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters, you have no money. Come buy and eat. Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. God's great invitation. Come. Everything is now ready. Have you heard it? An incredible invitation. That's the first thing this parable is about. And this makes it all the more surprising that this incredible invitation is followed, secondly, by some unacceptable excuses. The man sends his servants to call his guests, and verse 18, they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I've just bought a field, I must go and see it, please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen, I'm on my way to try them out, please excuse me. Still another said, I've just got married, so I can't come. I'm sure we all know the experience of trying to come up with an excuse for why we can't go to something that we really don't want to go to. I'm sure we've all been there. We know exactly what it's like. You write the text, you look at it, you rewrite it, then you decide it's cowardly to send a text, so you plan a phone call, you try to stick as, I hope this isn't just me, as close to the truth as possible while trying to make it clear that you're really sorry, but you just can't come. I came across a great quote this week. An excuse is a skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. I'm sure we've made or received excuses like that. The skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. We should be clear in this parable. The guests have already received the invitation to this great banquet. They've already said that they can come. The host had already invited there at the beginning, verse 16, many people. The servants here, the servant is just delivering the final call. Come now, everything is ready. That's how invitations would work in those days. Firstly, come to my party in a few weeks' time. Finally, come now, everything is ready. And the excuses as they come in, and we're to understand this is a kind of representative sample of all the excuses, are very poor. No one buys a field without first seeing it. No one, not that I've ever bought 5 yoke of oxen, or nor have you, but no one buys 5 yoke of oxen without first trying them out. In any case, the field and the oxen will still be there tomorrow. And as for the man who's just got married, well, he's known about this party for weeks. And what he's really saying is, I'd rather have a cozy evening with my new bride than come to your feast. It's rude. One of the commentators I read this week described these excuses as, I like that, exceedingly lame. And in fact, they're not just lame, they're insulting to the generosity of this host. It's unacceptable behavior. And what is Jesus teaching here? Well, clearly this parable is a rebuke to the Jewish leaders around the table with him of his day who were rejecting his invitation into God's kingdom. They were staying away. They were offering excuses. But more broadly, it is a challenge to all of us, to anyone, whatever excuses we give for not responding to God's incredible invitation to us through Jesus, whether that's his call and invitation to come to faith, first to put your trust in Christ, or if we think more broadly, to go deeper in faith. The call is always to grow, to come closer, to grow deeper. God calls us into his kingdom, a taste now in this life of a great banquet to come. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Come to me, eat what is good. You will delight in the richest of fare. Come, for everything is now ready. Where are we staying away, standing at a distance, keeping God at arm's length, whether that's because we're here considering faith, those of us, all of us called to grow in faith, where are we offering our excuses? Are you here this morning and that's what you've been doing? I can't because. Consider the invitation that God offers. Consider all that he's done to prepare. Everything is ready. Everything is paid for. Just bring yourself. Again, one of the commentators I read this week wrote this, that the parable teaches us. It's stark. Ultimately, he says, all excuses for rejecting God's invitation are exceedingly lame. What are you pretending to God? The skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. Firstly, an incredible invitation. Secondly, some unacceptable excuses. And finally, amazing grace. Amazing grace. Verse 21. The servant came back and reported all this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servants, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Faced with this list of insulting excuses, the master is understandably angry. But, and here's the surprise of the parable, he does not sit and stew in his anger, has a kind of massive sulk on his own. No, he turns his anger into grace. Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town, bring in the poor and the crippled, the blind and the lame. And when the servants do that, and still there's room, he sends them out further, verse 23, beyond the town, out into the roads and into the country lanes, so that, he says, my house will be full. Let's just pause to imagine this banquet. We're meant to imagine it and to be amazed at this most unconventional assembly of people. Just think of this banquet compared to what would be expected. This most unlikely and undeserving guest list, the poor and the handicapped of the community, in the view of the society of the time, the nobodies, the dispossessed, they're called off the streets and out of the alleyways. Can you imagine them seated at this great banquet? All of them out of place. None of them any idea which cutlery to use. It's social mayhem, if you like. And yet, it is a beautiful picture of the amazing grace of God. These people, they can't believe they're here, seated at this lavish dinner. They've had to be persuaded to come in, verse 23, make them, compel them to come in. You can imagine the servants going out saying, you invited to this party, and each one of them saying, no, not me. Not that party with that man. I don't belong there. And the servant saying, no, come with me, taking them by the arm and come in. You do belong. You are welcome. You are an honored guest at this great banquet. There's no hint in this parable that the host is grumpy about his C-list guests or Z-list guests. No, he is determined that there will be a great party with many guests. Imagine it. Picture it. It is a scene of amazing grace. And if you're a Christian here today, then there you are at the table, the banquet for all of us. We're all invited. We are the late comers to the party, undeserving, once far off, now brought in. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, the Corinthian Christians, says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world and the weak things and the lowly things and the despised things so that no one may boast before him. This is us. If you're a Christian, recipients of God's amazing grace, a motley crew invited in as honored guests. In just a minute, we're going to sing Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, and now I'm found. Was blind, and now I see. But this is where I want to end very briefly. And it's very relevant to the interview that we had with Kerry just earlier in the service. Remember this, that immediately before Jesus told this parable about guests, he gave some advice to hosts. Look back at verse 13. He says, when you give a banquet, who are you to invite? Well, it's the very same list as the people that God invites in the parable, the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, the nobodies, the people who cannot repay, the lost and the least, the hungry and the hurting, the suffering and the sorrowful. We who are the guests at God's great banquet are expected to become hosts in our turn. We who have been invited as guests must offer the same gracious hospitality, the same welcome and generosity to others. Our hospitality, wherever that is, whatever it looks like, is always a very pale reflection of, but a very powerful witness to, God's great banquet and his amazing grace. Let's pray together. Lord God, help us hear afresh your call. Come, everything is ready. Forgive us for our lame excuses. Thank you for your amazing grace. Challenge us, we pray, and show us how we might extend the same to all around us. In Jesus' name, amen.